Hello and welcome to Circling the Cup, San Jose Sharks podcast, episode number 147. And I know that you've probably had the same concern that we've had on this podcast this season, which is, guys, things don't really seem to be changing. Are you going to have enough to talk about? And the answer is yes, unfortunately. And we'll get to that in 1 second. But first, I'm Alex. You know my voice by now. And of course, here with me as always, because there's no way to shake them loose, Ben, what's up, Ben?
Hey, brother, can you spare an MCL and an ACL?
Oh, God, you always ruin the topic by foreshadowing. Of course, I shouldn't say, of course, not here with us, unfortunately, because he's dealing with a sick child and wants family time, because that's a reasonable thing to want in a season where everything sucks. Colin's not with us, but he will, I'm sure, be listening and then complaining about the fact that I threw him under the bus 10 times. Now, Ben alluded to something that happened this week. I got to be honest with you, listeners, and Ben, since you're listening live, as someone who's been a Sharks fan since the beginning of the Sharks, since before the Sharks, technically, I've seen some seasons that have not been great, but that happens with all franchises, although, except for right now, Vegas, so if you hear the Vegas fans going, we had a bad season, shut up, you're fine. But it happens to all franchises. But I got to be honest with you. I thought the most depressing season I had ever experienced was the one that spelled the end of Todd. Mainly because when the Sharks were bad, you kind of knew they were going to be bad. They were an expansion franchise. It's just kind of the way it worked. And even though they had a couple of really nice short runs there in between, you weren't really expecting them to magically be amazing. If you knew anything about hockey. Then we had that season where the team seemed to be, from a public perspective, you had guys like Thornton speaking up and acting out of character, seemingly out of character. And everything just seemed to go wrong that season. And
right.
I kind of like to, in my mind, file that under the most disappointing season. But I got to be honest with you, I think it's been supplanted by this season. Because this season is a season where not only did the same similar situations arise, minus the lack of team unity there, not necessarily on the ice, but coming out of the locker room, but it just seems like everything that could go wrong is literally going wrong and then having an ice cream sundae with the cherry on top of more wrong. And what I mean by that is when you think it can't get worse, it does. Fresh off of the fun and excitement of the participation award that Hurdle gets going to the All-Star game instead of an MVP, because screw you, NHL, you knew what you did. Hurdle ends up getting yet another knee injury. Now, I know you're wondering, Alex, is he just made out of glass? No, this is an unfortunate one. They've all been unfortunate. Most of them have been Dustin Brown, but this one, really unfortunate, accidental. But he basically has torn his ACL and his MCL and his other knee, his left knee. And it was announced that Hurdle will be out for the rest of the season. Now, I'm not necessarily bummed about what this means for the Sharks' season. In fact, actually,
the season was already over.
I know. And Ben, I think you're going to agree with me here. I think in some ways, this is better for the Sharks. And we'll explain what that means. But what I will say is this. A worse thing couldn't have happened to a nicer, more fun, and better player. Hurdle has just had real shit luck with literally this injury over and over again. It probably cost him a calendar his rookie season. It kind of screwed up the Sharks in the playoffs. Unfortunately, he's been able to bounce back from these, but you can only take so many of these knee injuries. But look, this is a guy who, despite how crappy the season has been, still comes out and has a positive attitude. And he's talked about this in interviews, why he does this, because he doesn't want everyone in the locker room to feel, low and basically swim and sink in that negativity. But this is a guy who you just feel like when he steps on the ice, Ben, I can't identify a player who just comes across as happier to be there and having more genuine, innocent fun. Now, that's not to say he's not a competitor, because he's obviously a fierce competitor. Everyone at that level is. But The guy just wants fun to be always. And yet his knee seems to disagree with him.
Or knees.
Knees, right. And that's a scary thing, by the way. Now we've got two of these going on. Now, I know what you're thinking. Jumbo's like, what do you need ligaments for? Yeah, that's Jumbo's the rare guy that can kind of pull that off.
It helps to be about as fast as a battleship, even before the knee injuries.
And listen, when you can pass a puck through time and space and multiverses, you can get away with it. Here's the thing, though. I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you people that this is good news. It's not good news. But if you've been listening to this podcast, there is a slight curve of positivity in this otherwise nosedive. And that is that we talked about on the podcast the last couple of weeks, the predicament the Sharks have been in technically not being out of the playoffs, but really not doing anything to demonstrate that they should be in it. And I got to say, one of the more frustrating things about this season for me as a fan has been I couldn't continue to buy into the we're going to fix it starting now. But just kidding. But now, though. No, hold on. Next game. No, sorry, that didn't work. Next game, which is kind of what they were doing here, right? They really haven't put anything together that I think gives anyone confidence that they're going to go anywhere this season. But because they weren't out of contention and because we kind of had a coaching staff that was very much playing for their jobs, it seemed like the focus was a little less on necessarily evaluating players. Or maybe some of that was going on, obviously, always. And a little bit more trying to do that starting now. And now we're going to be good. So now we're going to go on the run. And in this situation, with Couture out and with Hurdle out, I don't know that there's a person alive with a brain who looks at the situation and goes, we still got a cup chance. We don't. So what to me that hopefully means, and it seems like it's meant so far, at least coming from Doug Wilson in interviews with Kurz and publicly facing, is that the Sharks are kind of coming to grips with the fact that they really need to be focused on next season. And that, honestly, in my mind, but I'll give you a second because I know I've been ranting here, but in my mind, that's where the Sharks have needed to be for a while at this point. And it really is the best hope they have at kind of reopening this window or keeping it open, depending on how you want to look at it. What's your take on this?
No, I mean, so when you first said that, hey, the Hurdle injury could be a blessing in disguise, I was like, wait a minute, where are you going with this?
Right.
I think that, sure, practically speaking, it probably maybe breaks the organization out of the delusions that they've been in for a few weeks. Yeah. But I think my takeaway on this is that if the organization really, really does think that they were going to be able to fight their way up from their current predicament to a playoff spot, I mean, that to me, that indicates a greater problem top to bottom than that, you know, that they didn't just move forward, you know, that they were using hope as a strategy.
Can I point something out about along those lines, though, that I think you can understand? Because, you know, again, I think a lot of people, when they look at the sport, they just look at the sport side of it. And the reality is there's a business side of it, too. And one of the difficulties the Sharks have is they don't have a very good TV contract. So, you know, we've talked a lot about the importance of getting butts in those seats and season tickets and why the franchise seems to react pretty suddenly when they have the slightest dip. It's because of that TV. It's partially because of that TV contract and the fact they need to get it in there. So here's the thing, Ben, is that, like, I don't necessarily think that the team hadn't come to grips that their odds were slim to none, but publicly facing, I think they had to hum a few bars and fake it for the business side.
But that's the thing. Like, you can publicly say whatever the fuck you want and do the things on the ice that will actually benefit you in the long term. So I really don't. I don't give them the credit for, you know, running a con. I don't, because we didn't see anything on the ice that suggests first that they were going to do what they said they were going to do when DeBoer got fired, because they didn't, or B, that they were just trying to put butts in seats, right? Like, fans are not... Okay, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Many fans are not stupid. And many of them can see what we have seen for weeks, which is that this team was simply not competitive. And so... it was not going to be this year. And so... We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, and it's possible that this entire time Doug has been working the phones. It's certainly possible, right? But
I
that's
think he
only.
has been, to be honest.
What's that?
I think he has
I
been.
mean, we don't
I also
know.
don't think he's getting anywhere.
Right, we don't know.
But as a GM, he should always be.
But what I mean by that is, like, this team internally should have shifted gears weeks ago, shifted gears
Yes.
towards what is going to keep us from being stuck in this morass longer than this year. Because every minute that Brendan Dillon goes untraded is a minute that is essentially a waste for this team. Every minute that Melker Carlson is on the ice is a waste for this team. Every minute that certain guys who are doing fine in the, at the AHL level and should be seeing what we should be seeing what they can do at the NHL level is a wasted minute, right? This team is
Right.
always is not optimizing for its best outcome. And that's what's frustrating to people in our fan base whose IQs are above 70, which granted is again only about half the fan base.
Right.
So, you know, I don't really care that they need to put butts in the seats. That's short-term thinking, right? That's
No, I agree.
you know, that is the great boon of the, you know, late 20th century, early 21st century corporate dumb fuck mindset. Which is that if we just go from quarter to quarter and make, you know, some token effort, we'll somehow get through the biggest challenges that are ahead of us. And that's how companies fail. That's how organizations die.
Right, I agree.
And that's where we are. That's where it appears we are because there just hasn't been any practical effort on the, you know, NHL side on the ice to start to explore what that future looks like, right? There's a lot of you know we've at least one of us probably me on this podcast has said you know that this might be you know Marlowe's and Jumbo's last year.
Oh, I think we've all said that.
People don't want to face that. We've gotten some pushback on that. People think that those guys will come back next year and that this team will want them back next year. And again, at this point, you shouldn't want those guys back because they're here because we thought the window was open. They're here because we wanted to get them a cup. Given what we've seen this year, next year's not a cup year either. This is a team that needs to get younger and faster really fast.
Well,
And
actually, if I can butt in there,
yeah,
Ben,
sure,
I
please.
don't know whether I'm not saying next year is a cup year. I'm inclined to agree with you here, but I think that's a bit of an unknown. But to kind of capitalize on your point here, I think the point is that for the Sharks to get to where they need to be or keep the window open, regardless of whether you think next year's a cup year or 5 years is a cup year, the reality is that they really need to take a look at the guys who are going to be unrestricted free agents and probably let them walk if they can't get any trade value from them. And that includes guys like Thornton and Marlowe. So regardless of
Yeah.
whether or not you like them, regardless of whether or not you think next year could be a cup year, the fact of the matter is they can't keep holding this window open unless they start to transition to that younger game. Sorry, go
Yeah.
on.
Yeah. No, it's just to build on that, it's very clear that certainly the forward core has a deficit of talent in several areas, and they're not going to get those guys in trade at this point, right? Because they just don't have the cap space or the movable assets to really finagle a deal that works out in Doug's favor. Again, he can be a magic man on the phone, so there's always the possibility that he'll do something incredible. But that's the sort of thing you can't count on, right? That's the sort of thing that happens, you know, out of nowhere. And most of a GM's work is done at the nitty-gritty, the little details, right? Most of what separates a great team from a not great team isn't the blockbuster that they pull off once every 5 years. It's the little things, the little decisions, the things that push the organization up rather than treading water. And the problem is that this organization is treading water. And ho and I think maybe the fan base and possibly the organization are both thinking, but what if? What if we could pull off a jumbo deal, right? Like the original jumbo deal. What if we could pull off a Carlson deal, right? And it's just, I don't think that's not a strategy. That's not how you
Yeah,
get
no, I
better.
agree. I agree, and I think two things there. First of all, Doug Wilson in the last 24 hours has hinted as much. He's hinted the idea that like we will likely be active, but I wouldn't necessarily expect things to be coming in the way that maybe people are hoping. But aside from that, I think the reality is that like when we went in on Tavares, that was a bid both for the present and
Yeah.
the future.
Yep.
We thought, look, we're probably this one piece away. specific piece away, and we need that piece to also be the new part of the new core. We eventually move off of Jumbo. When that didn't work out, we kind of got lucky for the most part in getting a backup deal with another elite player. Now we can talk about that trade and argue about it at another point. But the fact of the matter is, at that point, it still seemed like we were potentially, you know, one really amazing player away. I think at this point, I think it's very hard to look at the way the roster has played this year and think that we're one player away. Right. So even if Doug were able to pull off a trade like that, to me, it's like, cool, that's part of a foundation for you know, the next 4 or 5 years.
That's right.
But it's not going to magically make this team a cup contender. Now, here is the good news out of all of this. And like right now, and really every year, to be perfectly honest, like I think a lot of people are pretending, like pointing their finger at Doug Wilson as like a new thing, but it's really not. It's been going on for forever. The same thing.
Hey, we did it. You know, you talked about that, you know, that awful year, right? Where right after the collapse to the Kings, what is the only thing Doug did is bring in 2 face punchers, right? That year was a nightmare. But you know, it was the work he did after realizing that wasn't gonna cut it that put him, you know, in a place where, you know, mistakes aside, who's better out there at this point, right?
And I think that's an important thing to look at, because I think when a lot of people, I know we were chatting about this on the side today in the lead up to this podcast, but you know, there's a lot of people right now who I think, because they're just looking for a way to vent their frustration, are now looking at like the draft pick at Ottawa as like a see, now it's going to be a first, you really screwed up, Doug. And it's like, listen, man, you probably take that trade 99% of the time here, regardless of whether or not it was the right fit. All those things you could say, that's hindsight talking if you're looking at it from that perspective. Doug pulled a pretty amazing trade out of a hat. Now, it didn't work out. That happens sometimes. It's not like he knew that they were going to be where they are now.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is that, like, look, like at the end of the day, and maybe I'm just simplifying this too much, Ben. Tell me if I am. But I kind of see there being 2 possible viewpoints here. You either believe that the team, despite the age, they can have a drop off. It's fine. I'm not arguing that. But you either believe that the team is not playing to its potential talent this year, be it the core or the whole team.
Yep.
Or you believe that that talent isn't there anymore.
Right.
And I think both of those, there's valid points to both of those. Now, if you are someone like me, for example, who looks at it and goes, I recognize that a lot of players are on the decline. I recognize that we're getting older. I recognize we don't have depth and we don't have prospects. I recognize all that. I also do not believe at all that this team has had the right mindset from the onset of the season, nor are they playing anywhere near their skill level. Because I believe that, and I look at the roster, we got a lot of contracts that are not ideal and that handcuff a bit. But the reality is that it's not like Doug is going to have zero to work with here, because we do have a lot of players who are either going to be walking or who we could potentially move. Now, again, that doesn't mean I think they're going to magically fix a team and be a contender next year. Right. It just means that I don't necessarily think the window has to be as shut as some people do. Now, if you're on the other side of that argument, then you look at it and you look at Doug Wilson and you go, I don't believe that you're the one to pull it off or pull the sort of rebound the fly off. And look, you're not necessarily wrong there too. If that ends up being the case, he may very well not be. But if you believe that the team is just underperforming, I think for me, it's tougher to look at Doug and go, all we need is someone else and it's magically going to be better. Because I believe he is a good GM. I believe he made some calculated risks. They haven't paid off, but that's how it goes.
I'm of 2 minds about it, because I do believe that, you know, the NHL is very much a GM and player driven league, that coaches are largely interchangeable. They largely aren't a value add, and so in that vein, like, I'm a little bit more reluctant to bail on a GM who has done so much right.
Right.
That said, it is his critical mistakes that have put us in this place, right? You know, that the most critical error he made was he assembled probably the Sharks team of all time last year and then was too stubborn to move on from a coach who clearly wasn't, competent enough to make use of a generational talent like Erik Karlsson, right?
Yeah. Can I point something out about that though? Because I think the point you're making is absolutely valid, and I'm obviously on your side with that, because we both felt the same way about the coaching staff. I do think that for people maybe who haven't followed as long, I do think it's worth pointing out, and I'm just being realistic here, Ben. Again, if you think I'm wrong, argue with me on it. And this isn't about how smart owners are. That's a separate conversation we can have another day. Given what he had accomplished from a win-loss statistical perspective, Western Conference championships and all that jazz, or Western Conference finals situation, I think very, very few GMs would have been quick to move on from him as quick as we were.
Well, that's maybe a problem with GMs. I mean,
I know, and I agree. That, I just want to point that out.
But
that's like,
but still, like, if you're supposed to be the best GM in the league, you make the right decision 95% of the time, right? And that really was the thing that held this team back, right?
And I guess my point is that I don't necessarily think that we have a lot. I wish we had more of those type of GMs in the league. I don't think we do. And that's not an excuse for Doug Wilson. It's just kind of painting a picture for those who are like, yeah, why didn't we move on? A lot of GMs wouldn't have moved on there.
But that's not
how quickly DeBoer was snatched back up.
Right. I mean, but that's not really, I mean, the thing is, that just means the entire league is full of fucking idiots. I mean, we still want our team not to be run by fucking idiots, right? Like,
as someone who consistently promotes for free, by the way, Down Goes Brown History of the NHL, that's what that book is all about, how ridiculous this league is. So I agree, Ben.
So, I guess, like, that's why I'm of two minds, right? Like, I'm not sure that there. I'm pretty sure that you can replace a Peter DeBoer with whatever you want, and you might even luck into one of those better than average coaches that are fairly rare in this league. I guess I am more uncertain of where a new general manager comes from that isn't just as error prone or more error prone, right? And I guess what I mean by that is, any GM who has done as much right as Doug has and gotten as unlucky as this team has, to me, doesn't just belong on the firing line. But, aside from 2014, 2015, when we all wanted him, dead and gone because of the way he approached that season, this is maybe as close as I've gotten to being like, maybe we do need something new. There is one piece that continually annoys me, which is that the Sharks seem to be behind the league in terms of embracing the realities of what's really going on under the hood of hockey, if you know what I mean. And what I mean by that is, even if they do have analytics guys, and they do, and even if Doug Jr. is deeply tied into that, and I think he is, that shit's not getting to the ice.
Right.
And that's a problem, right? The organization, an organization that really is primed for success, it has everybody aligned, and this is not that organization. And again, that partly is a failure of the overall general manager, right? If you're seeding, as we think Doug did to DeBoer, if you're seeding significant decisions like which players should be on the roster, Michael Haley, then you aren't aligned. You've just compromised towards mediocrity.
Yeah, I totally agree. And look, there's certainly something to be said about getting a fresh perspective, because I think Doug Wilson has done. I know he has his detractors. I think he's done a really admirable job of keeping a window open. That, again,
I agree.
Every year, people have been saying the window's shut for literally 15 years now, and every year up until maybe this year, and that season that shouldn't be mentioned, which they then bounced back and went to the cup after.
Yeah.
That hasn't really been the case, but you could also argue that at this point he's done everything he can. He's out of ideas, and he can't get him over the hump. I think, like, again, if I'm Hasso's basically given him a vote of confidence already.
Yeah.
So the likelihood of him not being back at least next year is very slim. Now, who knows afterwards? But I think the way that I would operate, and I think this is maybe the way that Hasso's operating as well, is that when all this started to go sour, my first question would have been, what's your plan?
Yeah.
Do you have a plan, and do I buy into it? And if I don't at that point, then it's for sure time to move on.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that means Doug has the answer.
Right.
But I do think it means that I would expect or hope that it means that he immediately identified the same things that we are all seeing and is actively working on addressing them. Now, can he? I don't know.
No, I mean, thing, right? Like when you evaluate either a coach or a GM, what you need to be looking for is at the process, not the results, right? Because hockey is a very luck-driven game and teams can be inappropriately rewarded for going about things the wrong way just because of the way the puck bounces, right?
What?
So what
there's luck involved in this league?
Tons, right? We've talked about it before. Yeah. 55-game series to get the best team to win every time. So where I was headed with that is, you know, if you look at the process for last year, I think he did the right thing, right? Jumbo was 40. The talent had approached a particular level where it was worth going all in, right? Even up to the point of trading for Gustav Nyquist. I think that the process was the correct process. This is maybe our last chance.
Yep.
Let's go, right? In the aftermath of that, and the contracts we had, was the process to put so much money into Erik Karlsson the correct process, as opposed to maybe spreading that money around to, you know, lesser lights and you know, developing younger guys? I think the jury's out. I think I probably sign if a guy like Karlsson is willing to sign in San Jose, I probably make that deal 95 out of 100 times.
And if I can add to that too, with something else we talked about off thread. You know, we can hate that contract as much as we want. That was the market rate of that contract. Like, he was signing for that. Like,
I agree.
Regardless of whether he signed with the Sharks. By the way, the Sharks have always had three things since the organization started. It's always had three things going against it. We've always had to overpay, usually in years, for free agents. If for a long time we could even get free agents. It wasn't really until the culture changed that we were really able to attract that kind of talent. Those three things are basically the taxes here are high, the cost of living is astronomical. So those two things right there, as a player, you're making less here than you're making in a lot of other markets. And then, you know, the travel sucks. And so it's tough in that regard. So,
yeah.
You know, if you think for a second, we can argue all day about whether or not the Sharks needed Karlsson specifically, or whether or not they should have done it. But the fact of the matter is, you can't look at Doug and go, you were ripped off there, because that's what he was going to sign for anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And again, like, I think, and again, we don't have any visibility into this. Right. That move, process-wise, is a good move if Doug has then also done everything he can to be trying to move Mark Edward Vlasic out, right? Because that contract is the one that will kill the Sharks.
Yeah.
You know, Karlsson's going to be good for a few years to come at least. He's a mobile guy. He doesn't take a lot of hits. He subsists on passing as much as shooting. Those are skills that can persist a bit, right? Yeah, he'll slow down a little bit. Maybe he'll get hit more at that point. But, you know, he's starting off faster than Vlasic at least.
Yeah.
The Vlasic
quite frankly, and if in the next few years, let's just say hypothetically speaking, he wants to move on because the organization isn't moving, you know, where he thought it would be.
Right.
He's still tradable because that's, again, still the contract that was going to be signed. So he still has value in that sense. Sorry, go on.
No, that's really all I want to say is, like, you know, what Doug needs to do now, if there's a magic move to be made, and if there's a correct process move to be made, it's to be finding somebody to take Vlasic or Brent Burns off of our hands, convincing those guys that this isn't the place to be. And maybe that's where the hurdle injury plays a part, that maybe they could find a place to land that has an actual shot at the cup this year, and getting those contracts off our books. Cause those two are going to look awful. Or they already look awful, but they're going to look even worse every year.
The good news is, if that's the way that you passionately want to go, I don't know what the market is for Vlasic, but I am very confident that you could move Burns if you would waive.
Well, I think what that means is,
and Joe, we talked about this last podcast too, Ben. Sorry to interrupt, but you know, the other big F up of a contract. I think the only move that I've ever seen Doug really do where I was like, this is a really bad call, like a really, I can't in any way, shape, or form justify it, would be the Martin Jones contract. That's not because at that point in time I didn't like Martin Jones. It was because there is really no need to give a goaltender that contract. Yep. There really isn't. Like, there are so few goalies who are that who are that elite level that you get, you know, 5 or 6 year extension.
I mean, to that point, never give a goalie term. They're voodoo. Never give a goalie term.
Well, like you know, like a Berdour maybe, or Hasek. But the reality is, there are so many serviceable goaltenders.
Sure. Yeah, totally.
Like, the market is oversaturated. There are so few positions. Look, on teams, the market is so oversaturated that you don't need to do that in the same way that you do. Like, look, like, and I bring this up all the time. For me, the hardest position to get is good defense, because you kind of have to draft that most of the time. So, like, when you get like a guy again, like a Carlson, you offer them all the monies.
Yeah.
Those guys are hard to come by, but goaltenders, man, you can pluck a couple of league average goaltenders pretty easily.
I mean, the thing is that in this decade, there's probably one goalie that you should have given a multi-year contract to, and that's Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah.
I don't think you give one to Price. I don't think you give one to, I mean, obviously you don't give one to Jones. You certainly don't give one to Jonathan Quick. Lundqvist is the only guy who year in and year out seems to not be, you know, affected by, you know, mad goalie disease.
And age.
And age. And in that vein, you know, basically that means never give a goalie term. I mean, just don't. It's not worth it, right? The risk of losing a Lundqvist is not worth the risk of, I think, being, you know, tied up with an albatross like Jones.
Yeah. Well, and especially, you know, for a team who's, you know, goaltending prospects, I'm sorry. Like, they're not that great. There's some talent in there for sure, but I mean, they haven't raised a good goaltender in forever, since Strelo, really. So, you look at the situation, it's like, look, you guys don't have a lot in the pipe. The last thing you want to be doing is tying up something in that position. It just doesn't really make a lot of sense. But again, you know, those things aside, I look at the Sharks' potential offseason, and I say, well, there's enough here to change or work with, so that if the core has been underperforming and they get a fresh start, and I want to be very clear about something, and maybe this is just my belief. Again, Ben, feel free to argue with me here, but I don't necessarily know that you will. The NHL season, something that people don't realize is how few actual practices teams have during the regular season, because the regular season is long. There's a lot of traveling. There's games virtually every other day, and you got travel in there as well. So, you know, we mentioned this when the coaching change happened. I pointed out, don't expect a massive system change immediately, because there really, there normally isn't the time to do something like that, and it takes a long time to implement and train. Now, fortunately, when the Sharks did that firing, they did so in an area where they had semi-bye weeks kind of right around the corner. But even again, you saw that's not enough time. So it's like, for me, once this team had this mental rut or skill rut or whatever the slump is, very hard to just magically shake that this season. So my hope is, what I would hope the coaching staff would be doing now, should have been doing the entire time, is getting the guys to think on a simpler, more basic level, win those small battles, get the fundamentals back on track. And when you get to that offseason, you get that new coach in or whatever you want to do, and that's when you have that mental reset and you come back refreshed. My hope is that with the vacancies that are here, that Doug can find enough depth that, you know, Hurl comes back and his knee's all right. Couture comes back and his, you know, ankle's all right. Everyone doesn't take a nosedive off an age cliff. And that the Sharks can at least play to the core, can at least play back to what I think their skill level ought to be, or close to it. And that supporting cast is enough to at least help support and keep it, you know, a little bit more competitive that we can then build off of. But again, if you don't believe that this team has just been underperforming and you think this is where the team is, you probably have a different perspective on it. And I don't know what to tell you. That's depressing. That's the depressing thing. And maybe I just don't want to accept it, but I really don't believe that's the case.
Personally. Well, I mean, I'm not sure what to think, because the forward core does look pretty bad. And mostly that what I mean by that is, you know, there's probably four legitimate forwards on this roster, four to five, you know, and the rest are guys who are never worse or are, just at the end, right? They're still serviceable, but they're
Yeah.
not going to contribute, in 2 years. And again, like the weakness here is that the Sharks are not giving guys who need to contribute in 2 years opportunities to show what they can do. And then, of course, we don't know what it's going to, what Hurdle's going to come back as, or when he'll come back, because it won't be probably be the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
We don't know how, not that Couture has ever been a super fast guy, at least not since his first couple of years in the league, but we don't know the impact that that ankle injury is going to have on him either.
Right.
There are a lot of concerns on this roster for if we're thinking about reopening the window, and not unless Doug can move a couple of those bad contracts, things could be bleak next year. I mean, especially as they put off the work that they need to do to begin to make progress, right? That's where I'm frustrated, and I think
Right.
I've made that clear at this point, that what I'm frustrated about is that the Sharks are, at least on the ice, seem to be just in denial about what they are, who they are, and what they're going to be next year, and that's not good. It's not good for anybody. There was one other thing I want to kind of bring up here too, which is we kind of only passed over the Hurdle injury, right? You
Yeah.
did mention that it's his other knee this
'Cause
time,
I'm so sad about
not
it,
the one
man.
before.
I'm
And
so
I think we,
sad about it.
I think we all are. But I mean, it's good that you said kind of like maybe it's bad that it's the other knee. I would argue that, yeah, it's not great that it's his other knee, but I think that better than it's the same knee again that
Sure.
has to go through that rehab and potentially comes out of it even weaker than it was before. Fortunately, Hurdle's not a guy who relies on speed. It's
Right.
really strength and core. So, he's not going to. I mean, he might lose a step, but it shouldn't affect his game too much, right? I guess the thing that is interesting to me is, are you familiar with sort of the Connor McDavid thing that happened last year? How,
Yes.
he tore those ligaments and then just, did
Stem celled it
non-surgery
up.
rehab.
Yeah, right.
And I wonder if that's a thing that perhaps, guys like Hurdle might start to look into.
I'll tell you what, the Sharks surgeon doesn't have the best track record with
Right.
reason any infections. I listen, my biggest concern right now is that Hurdle doesn't recover, because the reality is that as much as I think this team isn't playing to their skill level, and I think, I do think there's more than one guy on this roster that that pertains to. I at the same time think that if Hurdle's done, the Sharks screwed. Legitimately, that is the player they need to come back and come back in close to full, if not full. And if they do not have him in that prospect, they're in a world of trouble.
Well, I do think, this is a guy who clearly loves the game, and
Yeah.
this is a guy who has worked his way back from catastrophic knee injuries before, right? I think if there's a guy who might be a guaranteed is going to fight his way back.
But Ben, this brings us to a question
Yep.
that I think you want to bring up that was asked
Yes.
off the pod. Why don't you bring it up?
Yeah, so one of our
I mean,
listeners,
it's more of a rhetorical question, but
Yeah,
it's,
it was more of a topic of discussion, and to see kind of what you and Colin thought about this. And Colin will just have to, think really hard to get his thoughts to us. But
We're all gonna think the same thing here, guys. Sorry to bring it to that.
but one of our Twitter followers and a blogger named Zeke and Mo, sent an interesting note to me that, reminded me, when we talk about how bad the team surgeon is, it's honestly there are big question marks about the entire, medical staff of the Sharks.
Right.
So, if you were following the game, when Hurdle got injured in that pileup, you'll probably remember that Hurdle came back on the ice to test that knee out. Our Twitter follower, I'm going to read a little bit of what he had to say. That one of the things that bugged, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, bugged our listener, and maybe it bugged many of you, was that 15 minutes after Hurdle went into the boards and hurt his knee, someone in the Sharks organization decided, "Hey, why don't you go out there and test it? Why don't you just go see if it's good enough to continue?" Right? And of course, remember that a couple of years back, as we approached the playoffs, Jumbo tore both of these ligaments, and the organization just basically pretended he didn't, and he's kept skating on it. And of course, Jumbo wasn't himself in those playoffs. The Sharks got bounced early.
And he didn't have his knee wasn't attached to anything.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you go even further and you think about last year, I mean, we had a very similar situation with Carlson's groin, right? Carlson hurts his groin. He sits out some games before the All-Star break. Someone, including Carlson, decided it would be a great idea for him to play in that All-Star game. He missed some more time after and clearly rushed back, tweaked the injury again, and wasn't himself the rest of the year, right? Yeah. Even when he came back. So, this is something I've harped on a bit, over time, is how this organization doesn't seem to fucking learn from mistakes. And and I guess the sort of semi-rhetorical question here is this, moment of letting Hurdle go see if he can skate on this fucking knee injury just further evidence that this organization is incapable of learning? Or well, just, the coaching staff or whatever. What do you think, Alex?
No, I totally agree. And the thing about that is, like, what is the point of that?
Yeah.
Something that I think fans who haven't worked with professional athletes or don't know professional athletes probably need to understand. I've had the good fortune of working with professional athletes before. And the one thing I can tell you is, while many of them are nice, they are extremely competitive mm-hmm. when it comes to their sport. Like you were talking about, to get to where they are, they are like the 1% of the 1% yep. of competitive athletes. So like, when you see stuff like people go, Marlo just not competitive. I'll tell you what, Marlo's 1,000 times more competitive than you are. It might not seem that way, but he is. So you look, you're not going to tell the players to give up, and that's not in their makeup. They're not likely to do it. At the same time, though, like I looked at that situation as, okay, the Sharks have not done anything to prove to anyone that they're going to go on a run. They've had multiple chances to do that. They haven't proven that.
Yep.
What could they possibly gain?
Exactly.
In any situation, even if they think they can make the playoffs, why would you try to rush Hurdle? Because if Hurdle gets injured again or isn't ready, you're not going to make the playoffs and you're going to cost yourself even yep. more. So I saw that and I was like, what is the value of that? What are you hoping yeah. to do?
It just you're makes no sense.
You're hoping he's going to play with what you at that point you had to have thought is a tear. Do you think he's going to go the rest of the season with that tear being able to play and then make the Sharks yeah. competitive in the playoffs? Like no effing way. Like even if it were a minor tear,
yeah.
sit the F out.
This one is particularly egregious, right? Like if you go to the Carlson yeah. decision, it's like, well, we got to see who he really is. Can he mesh with this team? We've got this is a playoff team. It was clear last year's team was a playoff team. It was always in playoff position, almost always. You go back to the Jumbo one, it's like, well, this might be Jumbo's last chance and we're going to make the playoffs. So, and he's already 38 or whatever. So, if this is his last year because we ruined his knee, whatever, right? But Hurdle's got his entire yeah. fucking career ahead of him. And this is a yeah. lost season. Yeah. And again, this speaks to the delusion that I suspect this goddamned organization is under. That this is just one good run away from the playoffs. And that somehow if just making the playoffs means you're one good run for making the cup. And if there's anybody in the organization listening, and I know there isn't because we're way too negative about that. There's other podcasts they can listen to. Fucking wake up, you assholes.
Adding the assholes probably isn't helping them.
No, I don't care. They don't listen to us anyway. Make yeah. the team better for the future. Plan for the future. Rebuild the team and build a new coaching staff. And maximize towards 2 or 3 years down the road because this season is fucking lost. Yeah, it's lost. Deal with it.
I happen to believe that Doug Wilson has understood what has been going on this season and has been actively working or trying to improve things. Again, whether or not he makes the right calls is a different story. I don't know. I'm not going to predict that. But trotting Hurdle on the ice just to test. That to me, that's probably the one thing this season I absolutely cannot find any justification for. Like I can yeah. even look at the DeBoer stuff and go, I thoroughly disagree. But I can find the side where it made a lick of sense for a second there. But the Hurdle thing that actively made me angry.
Yeah, I'm a little.
And also as a fan, like
yeah,
I gotta be honest with you. I met Hurdle on an autograph signing. He would never remember who I was, and that's that. But I will tell you this: Hurdle's one of those players for me that Hurdle's career could end tomorrow, and I will always remember him extremely fondly as a face of the Sharks. So I've got a soft spot for that guy in particular, and I do not want to see his career ruined because the team is stupid.
No, I mean, we've been through this before, right? Like worrying that his career was over for various, you know, either Dustin Brown problems or just like, you know, he wasn't really ready to come back yet and same knee blew out, right? And you know, to that point, like, again, this organization needs to be protecting players from themselves. You talked a little bit about how competitive they are and that they want to get back on the ice. And you know Jumbo was back on the ice because he wanted to play as much as the organization wanted him to play. But at a certain point, as an organization, you have a responsibility to protect the players from themselves as much as from anything else. That's your job. You're the coach. You're the boss. The players are not in charge. You have to have control over your organization. You have to have a unified vision and a unified directive for where we're going. And that's what we continue to not see. And, you know, as I say this, I'm talking myself into fucking fire Doug Wilson. So anyway,
you just had your whole arc of that
mid podcast reversal. I don't know. I that guy needs to make some real strides real fast, though.
Yeah, no, I agree. I can't justify that. There's certainly things that I will always look at, and yeah, I don't get. I'm not gonna get. And that's the end of the story. Ben, listen, we've been talking a lot about this subject. Normally we do three stars this week. I think this is pretty tough. So what I'm going to do for my three stars, Ben, is we skipped last week because it was an all-star week and there really wasn't that much to talk about other than Hurdle going in and Hurdle's performance. So I'm going to give all three of my stars to Hurdle.
Yeah, get better, buddy.
I'm sorry. I'm going to give two of my three stars to Hurdle. One, because we love him and we love the work he was doing in the game before he got injured. But also, that guy couldn't have been a better representative of the Sharks at the All-Star game. He should have been the All-Star MVP. They obviously closed voting for that, you know, in advance of some of his heroics at the end. He was fun. He's exactly what you want to go. And I think a lot of people who weren't really aware of him became aware of him, which is great, and it helps put the Sharks on the map when that happens. My other star goes to, see if you can remember who it was, Ben, but someone for their goal song picked Hakuna Matata.
It wasn't Marlo, was it?
I think it was Nason. No, yeah. Marlo, by the way, sorry.
Yeah, I saw, did you see his wife drag him?
I'm going to give three stars right now. My first star is Marlo.
Christina Marlo.
I believe it's Nason for the Hakuna Matata. And my third is Christina Marlo because she was basically getting fans to give Marlo shit on Twitter for procrastinating and not picking a goal song. Which, by the way, the whole goal song thing that they've been trying to do, this has not worked out very well, as I said, we predicted.
Again, the organization is not aligned.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good example for sure, Ben. You're three stars.
All right, so as folks probably know if you follow our Twitter thread, I'm also a huge San Francisco 49ers fan, and the 49ers are in the Super Bowl this Sunday. So my three stars are going to be given to my favorite 49ers on this team. So the third star is going to go to Deebo Samuel, who is just a really fantastic young wide receiver, second-round pick, who really got right off and running this year. My second star is going to go to Jimmy G because, you know, he is a well more than competent quarterback, and I'm hoping that he avoids the dumb mistakes that sometimes kill him in the Super Bowl on Sunday. And my first star goes to George Kittle, because if there's an NFL player who should be a power forward in the NHL, it is George fucking Kittle. So those are my stars.
Yeah, I have a Kittle shirt that I'm rocking this Super Bowl.
So yeah, go Niners.
Go Niners, for sure.
The San Jose Sharks had to die so you might make the Super Bowl.
Oh, Ben, you're always the optimist here. Guys, right now, as if it matters, the San Jose Sharks are sitting in sixth in the Pacific Division at 48 points. The next closest team up from them is the Arizona Coyotes at a whopping 58 points. So Sharks got a pretty big climb, and it ain't going to happen. Sorry to break it to you. Meanwhile, there were some games this week. We're not going to go into deep dives on them, but basically the Sharks beat the Ducks and then they would lose and lose hurdle to the Canucks. By the way, the other reason I gave Nason a nod is because he got quite a couple of nice goals.
Yeah, he had a couple of real nice plays in that game.
Hey, way to go, that player. Now the Sharks take on tomorrow, Saturday, the Tampa Bay Lightning at home.
Oh.
And then they play the Calgary Flames on Tuesday on the road. And then McJesus and his oil on Thursday. And I don't know about you, Ben. I'm kind of expecting to be pretty close out of the playoffs by that point. We appreciate all of you for listening. We didn't have as many questions as we thought this week, but I think that's because everyone's morning, so we totally understand. But as always, write us, and we will usually address it on the air, as you've just seen today, folks. Meanwhile, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes through the podcast app. You know how to do it. Android people, good effing luck. Yes, I know, Ben. They can use Spotify where we get zero royalties. I know that joke's not funny and it's never going to get funny, but I don't care because it's, you know, partially my podcast and your podcast and Ben Collins' podcast, our podcast. We do what we want. You can check us out on the web at CirclingTheCup.com. You can check us out on Facebook at Facebook.com/CirclingThePuck. And of course, you can check us, Ben, on Twitter, Ben's Twitter.
I did change the name, so it is very clearly me from the podcast.
Oh, listen, we really don't care that it's you, Ben. You've done a lot. You've done God's work.
I've waded into the social media shitstorm and weather.
Well, you know, we really don't. We do this for fun as a hobby because we were having these conversations anyway, and we decided to open it up. And so, you know, we don't really do a lot of promotion for it. And Ben has done a tremendous job of basically doing all the promotion that we've done, which is ironic considering I've had stints in marketing in other areas. But what are you going to do?
I was a producer. I had to do everything, so it's fine.
Same. I've been a producer too. Keep throwing it out there. Here's the other thing. We do have a Discord channel, which you can find on any of those channels. We usually post links to it. And the reason I point that out is because we are pretty active, a little less so these days, but in general, pretty active on game chats. We have a super small community there. That's another place you can go to ask questions, and we will always take them seriously. So, Ben, what I'm trying to say is that concludes this week's bye-bye.
Sorry, I fell out of the room.
There you go. Bye-bye.
Wait, bye.